This week's parsha is Parshas Vayeschanan, and we'll start our shir in chapter 6, verse number 4. This is one of the most famous verses, because in this verse we have the Shema that we are required to say two times a day, and we are going to try to analyze what Rashi says and other interpretations in regards to the Shema. The verse says, Shema Israel, listen, O Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. The Rambam Yeseda Torah Perek Alef Halacha Zayin writes down that this is one of the bases of the Emunah, of the trust in Hashem, that we have to know that there is only one God, there is no two gods, and this is a positive commandment that Hashem Elokeinu, that Hashem our God, is Hashem Echad. So too writes down the Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Tav Yud Zayin, that this is the mitzvah of Achdus Hashem, the mitzvah of the unification of Hashem, that we are commanded to believe that Hashem is the one who creates everything, there's no partnership with Him, as it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Rashba writes down in Shalos HaTshuva Tzehelek Chamishi about the idea of this Kriya Shema, and he says, in truth, everybody who has knowledge has to know that this is a unique parsha that includes the oneness and our trust in Hashem, that this parsha has secrets and is the root of faith, and these are the foundation for the Jewish house, that we are required to read this parsha and have kavana, intention and concentration in this parsha, not just to read this parsha like we read any other portion of the Torah, but we have to know that Hashem is one, and He is our God, and we are required to give over all our desires, all our soul, and all our wealth for the sake of Hashem, and we should be determined and know for sure that this is so, not just like somebody who is giving lip service. So we see from here that the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is actually a positive commandment for all Jews to know that Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. But yet, when Rashi gives the interpretation of Shema, Rashi gives a totally different interpretation of Shema. Rashi says that it means to say, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Ato, Hashem who is our God now, Velo Elohei Umos, and is not the God of the nations, who Osid Liyois Hashem Echad. In the future, it will be Hashem One, meaning that the nations of the world will also recognize that Hashem is the One. As it says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 9, Ki Oz Hepoich El Amim Sofa Berura, because then I should change the nations to a clear language, Likroi kulam b'shem Hashem, everybody will call in the name of Hashem. V'nemar, it's also written in Zephaniah chapter 14, verse number 9. Bayoy mahu, in that day, yiyye Hashem echad, Hashem will be one, ushmo echad, and His name is going to be one. Meaning, right now the nations of the world do not recognize Hashem as the one. They have different gods, but in the future everybody is going to recognize that there is only one God, and this is our God, Hashem. And Mefarshim ask, why in fact did Rashi interpret this verse this way? Why doesn't Rashi just say that it is a mitzvah for us to recognize the oneness of Hashem? That is what it means, Hashem Echad, that Hashem is our only God. Then why doesn't Rashi mention anything about this and only mentions that in the future Hashem's name is going to be one and recognized by the nations of the world? The Maral in Urariah explains that this is actually what Rashi means. Rashi means that in the future, the nations of the world are going to recognize what we, the Jewish people, know now, meaning that we know now that Hashem is one, there is no other God but Hashem, and in the future, the nations of the world are going to recognize that we were right, and they are going to see that Hashem is one. But by the fact that the nations of the world are going to recognize in the future what we see now, that automatically tells you that Hashem is one now. Therefore, according to the Guraria, Rashi talks about the oneness of Hashem indirectly. The Sif Sacham in the Mizrahi explains that it is understood by the words Hashem Echad that Hashem is one and there is no other God. But if that would have been all that the verse is trying to teach us, then the verse should have just said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. Listen, O Israel, Hashem is one. From the fact that the verse says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, and then it says, Hashem Echad, from there you see that the verse is trying to teach you something else. Therefore, Rashi explains that the verse is trying to teach that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem now is only our God, because the nations of the world don't recognize Hashem as a God, because they have other gods or other partners with gods. But in the future, everybody is going to realize Hashem Echad, that Hashem is one. Adam Mefarshim explained that Rashi is trying to answer a very strong question that a lot of the Mefarshim ask. The Mefarshim ask, why is it written here, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, here, O Israel, Hashem is our God, it should say, Hashem Elokecha, Hashem is your God. Because here Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jewish people, and when you speak to the Jewish people, you say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokecha, Hashem is your God. As a matter of fact, in Pasuk number 5, which is the next Pasuk after the Shema, it says clearly, Vohavto eis Hashem Elokecha. You should love Hashem, your God. It doesn't say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, our God. Then the question is, why is it written in the Shema, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, Hashem Echad? Therefore, Rashi answers that the verse is trying to hint to something else, that now Hashem Elokeinu, now Hashem is only our God, not the God of the nations, but in the future, Echad, everybody is going to recognize the oneness of Hashem. The Ramban explains that the reason why it's written here, Elokeinu, is that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted everybody to know that even though Moshe Rabbeinu made all these miracles, made all these wonders, he wanted to let the people know that it was not from him, it was because Hashem Elokeinu, because Hashem is our God. So you should dispel the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that did the miracles. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to include himself by saying Elokeinu, that Hashem is our God, that Moshe Rabbeinu knows that it wasn't him that made the miracles, it was Hashem that made the miracles. Adam Mefarshim explained that since Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to include himself in the Yichud Hashem, meaning when we're saying that Hashem is one, he wanted everybody to know that our God is one, therefore it's written Elokeinu and not Elokecha and not your God. The Alshach explains that the reason it's written Elokeinu is because it's written Shema Yisrael, Hear O Israel. Meaning that since Shema Yisrael is in a singular language, it's not in the plural. Therefore, it means that the Jewish people have to unite, they have to become one. Then the Alshach says that it explains why do we have to become one and how is it possible that we should all become one. Then he answers, because it's written Hashem Elokeinu, that since Hashem is our God, meaning that every soul has a spark of Hashem, therefore it's proper that you unite to make the oneness of Hashem complete. That since Hashem is our God, therefore it's proper that we should all become one as Hashem is one. In truth, this question is in a way answered by the Gemara, because the Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun Vav Amud Alef 96a writes down that Shimon Belakish says, it's written in Bereshis chapter 49, verse number 1, Vayikro Yaakov El Bonav, that Yaakov calls his children. Vayomer, he says, they also gather, Vagid Elohem, and I will tell you what is going to happen in the end of days. So according to the Gemara, because Yaakov Legalos Levonav Keitze Yomim, Yaakov Avinu was going to tell what's going to happen in the days of Moshiach, or when Moshiach is going to come, when his talk of Imenu Shechina and the Divine Presence left him. Yaakov Avinu got scared that the Divine Presence left him. He said, Shemo Chaz V'Sholom Yish B'mitosi P'sul, could be that in my bed, meaning out of my children, I have somebody that is not worthy a blemish. Avram, like Avram that had Ishmael, and like Yitzchak that had Esav. On that his children answered, Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, meaning hear O Yaakov, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Meaning the Gemara says, Keshem She'em Belipcha Elo Echad, in the same way that you only have one God in your heart, Kach Em Belibeinu Elo Echad. So too, we only have one God in our heart. The Gemara continues that upon hearing that, Yaakov said, Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusoi Loilon Void, blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom to all eternity. But nonetheless, we see that the phrase, the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, was already said by the children of Yaakov to Yaakov. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people about the Shema. He decided that he doesn't want to use a new language, Shema Yisrael, Hear O Israel, Hashem Elokecha, Hashem is your God, as he is used to use in the whole Mishneh Torah, in the whole book of Devarim. He decided to use the same phrase that the children of Yaakov said to their father, and there they have to say, Shema Yisrael, Hear O Israel, which means Yaakov, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, because Yaakov was afraid that maybe the hearts of the children aren't together with God. Therefore, the children had to reiterate that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, and because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu uses the same phrase. The Divrei Yoel asks on the Gemara, why does the Gemara have to say that the children said, Keshem She'im Belipcho Elo Echad, in the same way that you only have one God in your heart, Kach Im Belibeinu Elo Echad, so too in our heart there is only one God? Why didn't they just say that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, that Hashem is our God, that we believe Hashem is our God? Why are they equating their hearts to the hearts of Yaakov? They could have just said that we believe in God, in Hashem, that Hashem is the one God. Why do they have to make the comparison that in the same way that in your heart, Yaakov, there is only one God, so too in our hearts there is only one God? Furthermore, he says that the Medrash in this week's Parsha brings this story, but the Medrash brings a little differently. The Medrash brings down in Parsha Beis, Simen Lamed Hei, Meichon Zochu Yisrael Krishma. Where did the Jewish people merit to say the Shema? The Medrash answers, when Yaakov went to die, he called the tribes and he said, maybe after I die from this world, you are going to start worshipping idols. How do I know that this is what he wanted to do? Because it's written in Bereshit chapter 49, but not verse number 1 that we analyzed before, but verse number 2. In verse number 2 it says, Ikovsu, gather, Veshimu bnei Yaakov, and listen, the children of Yaakov, Veshimu el Yisrael avichem, and listen to Israel your father. And the question is, why is it written again, bnei Yaakov, and listen to Israel your father? It is redundant. Therefore the matter says that we have to change what is written. We're not supposed to read Shimu, listen, El Yisrael Avichem, to Israel, your father. You're supposed to read Shimu, listen, Keil Yisrael Avichem, the God of Israel, your father. Meaning that Yaakov was telling his children that they should make sure to always listen to Hashem, the God of Yaakov, their father. The Medrash says that upon hearing that, the children said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen to Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. And Yaakovinu said quietly, Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusoi Loilon Void, let the name of his glorious kingdom be blessed for all eternity. But the Medrash continues and says, Omar Rablevi, Rablevi says, Ema Yisrael Oimrim Achshov, what are the Jewish people saying now when they say Shema Yisrael? The Medrash answers, Shema Ovinu Yisrael, listen, our father Yaakov, Oiso Adovar Shetzivisonu, that you commanded us that we should have only one God, Noheg Banu, we are still doing it. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Meaning that when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, it means that we are now telling to our father Yaakov Avinu that what you made us promise all the way back in Parshas Vayechi, that you should know that we are still keeping it, that Hashem is still our God, and Hashem is one. The Divrei Yoel asks, why do we say Shema Yisrael to Yaakov Avinu, since we mentioned before that make the oneness of Hashem is a positive commandment, then the positive commandment is supposed to do it on ourselves, not saying it in response to somebody who asks for it. We are supposed to believe that Hashem is one and His name is one, regardless who is asking. Then why are we saying this statement, according to the Medrash, according to Rabbi Levi, every time to Yaakov Avinu, we have to say this to Hashem or to ourselves? What is the point that we always want to mention this to Yaakov Avinu? We should say this regardless, because there's a mitzvah of make the Achdus Hashem, to make Hashem one, to know that Hashem is our God, as we mentioned in the beginning of this year. Then why do we say this specifically to Yaakov Avinu? To answer this question, Divrei Yoel brings a Yalkut Shimoni on the Haftorah of this week, on Yeshaya chapter 40. This week's Haftorah is Nachmu Nachmu Ami, and this is always the Haftorah of Parshas Bo'eschanon, the Haftorah that comes after Tisha B'Av, and it deals about the consolation that the Jewish people are going to get. And the Yalkut Shimoni is focused on the beginning of the Haftorah, the one that we are going to read, where it actually says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, console yourself, my nation, Yoimar Elokeichem, so will Hashem say. And the Yalkut is wondering, why is it saying, Yoimar Elokeichem, so will Hashem say? Why is the prophet saying that the consolation is going to come directly from Hashem? Why can't the consolation come through a prophet? The Yalkut Shimoni Remes Tov Mem Gimel says that before Hashem comes to console the Jewish people, Hashem sends the prophets to console the Jewish people. And the Jewish people will tell the prophets that until now you are giving us words of rebuke, words of punishment, and now you are going to come to console us. And the Medrash goes and gives details exactly what happened. The Medrash says that the prophet Hosea came to console the Jewish people and he said that Hashem sent me to console you. Then the Jewish people ask Hosea, Ma bayatcha, what is in your hand? Meaning, how are you going to console us? So Hosea says what is written in Hosea chapter 14, verse number 6, Eye ketal Israel, I'll be like do to the Jewish people. Then the Jewish people answer Hosea, yesterday you said to us, the words of rebuke that is written in Hosea chapter 9, verse number 16, that Hiko Ephraim, that Ephraim got smitten, Sharshom Yovesh, the root is withered, Pri Balyasun, and they will not produce fruit, and now you're giving us words of consolation. What words should we believe? Should we believe the first words that you gave us, or these words of consolation? So Hosea leaves, and the prophet Yoel comes, and Yoel says that Hashem sent me to console you. Then the Jewish people ask Yoel, what words are you telling us? Then Yoel says what is written in chapter 4, verse number 18, Vayo bayom ahu, it will be in that day, itfu eharim osis, and the mountains will drip with wine, which means that Eretz Yisrael is going to be fruitful again. Then the Jewish people complain and say that previously you came to us and said what is written in Yoel chapter 1, verse number 5, Hokitsu shikoirim, wake up, drunkards, uvechu, and cry, vehirelu, and wail, kol shoyse yain, everybody that drinks al osis, over the fine wine, kinichras mipichem, that was eliminated from your mouth. Then we see that he said previously that the wine is going to be eliminated. Then the Jewish people complained, whom should I believe? Should we believe your first prophecy of doom and punishment, or should we believe the second prophecy? Therefore, the Jewish people did not believe the prophecy of Yoel. Then the Medrash says that the same thing happened with Amos, Micha, Nahum, Habakkuk, Tzfaina, Yoel, Haggai, Zechari, Malachi, Yeshaya. All these prophets gave prophecies of consolation, and the Jewish people found that previously they have given prophecies of punishment, and they said the same thing. Whom should we believe? Should we believe your first prophecies or the last prophecies? Therefore, the Jewish people didn't believe any of these prophets. Then the Medrash continues and says that Hashem sent Avraham Avinu to console the Jewish people. Avraham Avinu came to try to console the Jewish people, but the Jewish people wouldn't even bother hearing the consolation of Avraham Avinu. They said that since it's written in Bereshit chapter 22, verse number 14, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, that in the mountain of Hashem, Hashem will be seen. That means that Avraham Avinu called the place of the Beis HaMikdash mountain. That means that the place is not a house of Hashem. It's not the great house of Hashem. Therefore, the Jewish people did not want to believe the prophecies of Avraham Avinu in regards to the consolation. Then Hashem sent Yitzchak Avinu to console the Jewish people. But the Jewish people did not want to receive the consolation of Yitzchak, because Yitzchak called the Beis HaMikdash Soda, a field, as it's written that Yitzchak came to pray in the field, and it was not a house. And besides, Yitzchak Avinu had Esav, which Esav destroyed the temple, plowed down the mountain, and killed many of the Jewish people. Therefore, they didn't want to accept consolation from Yitzchak. Then Hashem calls Yaakov Avinu to console the Jewish people. But since Yaakov Avinu, after the dream, on Bereshit chapter 28, verse number 17, he says, Ein zeh ki im beis Elokim, this is only the house of Hashem. That means that Yaakov Avinu made the place of HaMikdash small. He says, this is only the house of Hashem. Clearly, this is the great house of Hashem, not only the house of Hashem. Therefore, the Jewish people did not want to accept consolation from Yaakov. And then Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu to console the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu came to try to console the Jewish people, but the Jewish people would not accept consolation from Moshe Rabbeinu, because they blamed Moshe Rabbeinu for giving us gzeiros, decrees, rebukes, and curses. Therefore, they blamed Moshe Rabbeinu that previously you gave these punishments on us, and now you want to come to console us. So they did not want to accept consolation from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash says that all these prophets, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu, came to Hashem and said that the Jewish people don't want to accept consolation from us. Hashem tells these prophets, then there is no choice. I myself has to go and console the Jewish people. Therefore, it says on this week's of Torah, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, console yourself, my nation. Yoimar Elokeichem, so will Hashem your God say. Meaning that Hashem himself is coming to console us, since he tried to send us consolation through our prophets and through our forefathers and even through Moshe Rabbeinu, and we wouldn't accept it. Therefore, there is no choice. Hashem himself has to come and tell us the words of consolation. These are the words of the Yalkut Shimoni. The Divrei Yoel says that this Midrash is very hard to understand. First of all, we are talking about the future. We are talking about the time when Hashem is going to redeem us, that He is going to come and say that you are consoled, that it's time for the redemption. And that generation, it's written that all the Jewish people are going to be righteous, as Tosfos brings down in Yuma, that after Moshiach comes, there won't be any more evil people, and everybody is going to repent and return to Hashem, as it's written in Dvarim chapter 30, verse number 2, V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha, that you'll return until Hashem. And Eliyahu HaNavi is going to bring the whole generation to repentance. And how is it possible that that generation won't believe in all these prophets, which are true prophets, that even though they are saying to us that Hashem sent us to console you, still we are going to tell these prophets that we do not believe them? And specifically, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu will come and say that Hashem sent us to give you a message and consolation, and yet the Jewish people still are going to say that we do not believe you because you had some contradicting or some derogatory remark previously against the Jewish people, therefore we won't believe them. And specifically, he asks, since we know that somebody who does not follow the words of the prophet or does not believe in the words of the true prophet, then he is chayav misa, is liable of death, as the Gemara brings a story that is written in Sanhedrin of Tzadik, Amud Aleph 90a, where there the prophet Elisha came to the northern capital of Israel that was besieged by the Aramean army, And the prophet Elisha prophesies that the next day there will be such abundance of food at the gates of Shomron that a large quantity of food will be bought by a shekel. And the king's captain left and did not believe and mocked him. And then Elisha says that you will see that this will happen, but yet you won't be able to take advantage of it. And the verse brings down in Malachim 2, chapter 7, verse number 20, that so it was, and the people trampled him by the gate, and the king's captain died. So we see that somebody does not believe in the prophecy of a true prophet, is Chayav Misa. Then how is it possible that the Jewish people won't believe the prophecies that these prophets are saying in regards to the consolation, and specifically when Moshe Rabbeinu himself comes and gives us words of consolation, and he says that Hashem told them to tell this to the Jewish people, and yet the Jewish people don't want to believe Moshe Rabbeinu. And another question that the Divrei Yoel asks is that nowadays we see the words of rebuke, we see that it actually came true, and we still believe that even though we went through all this trouble, there is going to be a consolation, there is going to be the coming of the Moshiach. Then clearly we do not see any contradiction from us being punished to us being redeemed, to us being consoled. Then why is it that when the prophets came and told us words of consolation, we did not want to accept from the prophets these words of consolations because they had previously told us words of rebuke? We know that it's still possible that even though you have words of rebuke, the rebuke came to be, and now it's time for the consolation. Then why wouldn't the Jewish people believe the prophets that the consolation is coming? Because those prophets gave words of rebuke. Why is this a contradiction? And the last question that the Divrei Yoel asks is that Hashem knows the future. Hashem already knows that the Jewish people are not going to accept the words of consolation of the prophets. Then why is it that Hashem insists on sending one prophet after another, and then he sends the others, and then he sends Moshe Rabbeinu to try to give the Jewish people words of consolation, when he knows that the Jewish people aren't going to accept it, unless Hashem comes himself and gives us those words of consolation? Then why doesn't Hashem come directly and gives us words of consolation? What was the point on sending all these prophets, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu, to try to give us words of consolation when Hashem already knows beforehand that they are not going to be accepted? Clearly, there must be a good reason for it, and the Divrei Yoel says that there are hidden secrets involved in what Hashem does and why Hashem did it, but he's going to try to give an answer to try to understand what was involved and why the Jewish people wouldn't want to accept any words of consolation from a prophet or from the others or even from Moshe Rabbeinu. To answer all this question, Divrei Yoel brings what he wrote down in Parshas Balak, that there he asks a very strong question in regards to the Jewish people. The Jewish people fell because they followed the trickery of Bilam, where the Bilam used the trick to seduce the Jewish people, and because the Jewish people were seduced by the Moabite women, they fell and they did the idolatry of Baal Peor, and because of that, 24,000 people died, or according to Rashi, 200,000 people died. But that, theoretically, is a very huge question. How is it possible that the Jewish people should fall to such a level? Even when they were in Egypt, where it's considered the 49th level of impurity, and it was before the Torah was given, and they were subjugated, and the Egyptians ruled on their body, yet the Gemara says that nobody, no Jewish man or Jewish woman, had relations with the Egyptians. There was only one woman who ended up having relations by mistake, and that was Shloimis Bas Divri, and the Torah disclosed it. Then how is it possible that in that level the Jewish people are able to control themselves and not have immorality, and when we are in a higher level, we can't control ourselves and we fall for the immorality? Specifically, since we know that the Torah is a tool against the evil inclination, and the Jewish people were learning Torah at that time, when they came to Shittim, they were learning Torah for almost 40 years, then how is it possible that the Jewish people should fall to that level? The Divrei Yoel answers that one answer could be based on the Zohar, where the Zohar says that Balak and Bilam are both great sorcerers, and they had Kshafim, and the Gemara says that Kshafim means that Shemakhishim Pamalya Shemala, that it caused in a way the heaven to weaken. Therefore, they had these huge forces of evil, and those forces caused the Jewish people to sin. But the Divrei Yoel gives a different answer, and he says that maybe we could say, based on the Madrash Rabbah in Parshas Dvarim, where the Madrash Rabbah brings the verse in Mishle, chapter 28, verse number 23, where the verse says, Mochiach Odom Acharei, that somebody who rebukes man after me, Chein Yimtza, is going to find more grace, Mimachik Loshon, from somebody who has a flattering tongue. And the Madrash says that the person who has a flattering tongue is Bilam, that because Bilam raised the spirits of the Jewish people and gave them these prophecies of truth, that caused the Jewish people to sin. And we have to understand what is wrong with the prophecies of Bilam. Clearly, the prophecies of Bilam are what Hashem put in Bilam's mouth, and clearly they are true words, they are the words of Hashem. Then why are we blaming Bilam for giving these prophecies, and how did these prophecies cause the Jewish people to sin? Therefore, the Divrei Yoel brings the Medrash Tanchuma, which the Medrash Tanchuma brings also this Pasuk, and the Medrash Tanchuma says that Bilam came to the Jewish people and said that you could do anything you want, you could do all your desires that you want, because in Bamidbar chapter 23, verse number 21, it's written, Lohibit oven beYaakov, that Hashem did not perceive any iniquities in Yaakov, meaning that Hashem does not count the sins of Yaakov. Vero omol beYisrael, and Hashem did not see any perversity in the Jewish people. Therefore, you could act any way that you want, and Hashem will forgive you. Ah, it's written previously on verse 19, Loi ishkel veyechazev, that Hashem is not a man that he should be deceitful, uven odom veisnechem, that he is not the son of a man and relent, which means that Hashem says something and he will keep and he will follow through what he said. Bilam said that this is talking in regards to the nations of the world, that to the nations of the world Hashem will not forgive what they do, but in regards to the Jewish people Hashem will forgive, because Hashem forgives the sins of the Jewish people. And he further said, which he took away from the normal interpretation, that when it's written further in the Pasuk, that Ha'u Omar Velo Yase, that he said and he won't keep, V'diber, and he spoke, V'lo Yekimenu, and he won't confirm, that is talking about the Jewish people. That even though Hashem said for us to do something, still, V'lo Yase, it's not important that we do what Hashem says. V'diber, even though Hashem said something for us to do, V'lo Yekimenu, but we don't have to fulfill it. Meaning that since Hashem forgives our sins, we don't have to do what Hashem tells us, and we don't have to fulfill what He speaks. And he interpreted this Pasuk in regards to the Jewish people, and he interpreted this Pasuk Benichase as this Pasuk would be a statement. In truth, the interpretation of this Pasuk is completely the opposite. The interpretation of this Pasuk is if a question mark, that the interpretation is, that is it possible, how Omar v'lo yase, is it possible that Hashem should say something and not do, v'diber, and he should speak, v'lo yekimenu, and should not confirm it? But Bilam changed the meaning of this verse from a question mark, which clearly states that Hashem always keeps his words and always wants us to fulfill what he says, to a statement that Hashem tells you that you could say and not do, and he could speak and not confirm. And because Bilam is the one who gave this prophecy, he's the one who said those words, the Jewish people believed Bilam that this is the right interpretation. Therefore, Bilam was able to convince the Jewish people to follow their desires, because Hashem said, it's not important that you fulfill what I tell you to fulfill, because since Hashem is going to forgive you anyways, then why not do your desires, since Hashem says that he could say and you don't have to do. Therefore, the Medrash says that the person who has a flattering tongue is Bilam, that because Bilam was able to flatter us by saying that we are in a higher level, that Hashem forgives always our sin, he was able to misinterpret what the prophecy said, and therefore he caused the Jewish people to sin with the daughters of Moab. The Divya continues and says that unfortunately this is not only Bilam that does that. Nowadays and throughout generations we have people that take the Torah and they reinterpret the Torah to fulfill a certain agenda, and they believe, and the Divrei Yoel brings the Rambam in Hilchos Tamei Torah Perek Hei Halacha Dalet, where the Rambam is discussing somebody who does not learn properly and is not in the level to rule. Then he says that those people are the people Amabim Amachloikas, they cause strife to become multiplied. Vehem Amachrivim Masoilam, they are the ones who destroy the world. Vamachabim Neira Shal Torah, and they extinguish the light of Torah. Vamachablim Kerem Hashem Tzavois, and they destroy Hashem's vineyard. So we see that somebody who interprets the Torah wrong, interprets the Torah for his own gain, for his own benefit, for his own agenda, is in the same way as Bilam, and he causes destruction to the world. And he plays with the words, he says that this person could be novel, Birshus HaTorah, that he could be disgusting, and he uses the Torah to prove that he could be disgusting. And this problem doesn't only have to do with Psukim normally, but it also has to do with questions in Emunah and trust and the unification of Hashem's name, that people do believe that Hashem is one, that there is one God, but they believe that we have to do things to do what God wants, and because things happen the way they said, they believe that this is what Hashem wants, and they don't know that Hashem only gives them because Hashem wants to test them. And he says that since this danger exists, therefore, when the children of Yaakov saw that Yaakov Avinu thought that there is a Shemetz Psul, that there is something not proper in his children, they said in the same way that you have one God in your heart, so too we have one God in our heart. Meaning that even though it could be that somebody misinterpreted what we have in regards to Emunah, nonetheless we are telling you that we want the Emunah to be like you had. Like you, Yaakovinu, had this Emunah Pshuta, you had this trust in Hashem, and you knew exactly the proper way to unify, to have the oneness of Hashem, so too we have the same way. Therefore, they didn't say just Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that Hashem is our God, Hashem is one, because that could have had a lot of different meanings. They said that the same way that you have God in your heart, so too we have God in our heart. Meaning that we rely on your interpretation and your learning how to unify Hashem's name. And therefore also, the Rabbi Levi says that when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that we mean to say that we tell Yaakovinu, Hadovor Shetzivisanu, that you commanded us, Noeheg Banu, applies to us, we're still doing it, that means that we're not just saying to Hashem that we are unifying Hashem's name, because we may be unifying Hashem's name with the wrong intent, with the wrong emunah. Therefore, we're saying that we want to do exactly like Yaakov Avinu did, that Hadovar Shetzivisanu, what you commanded us, Israel Saba, our grandfather Yaakov, we are still fulfilling it in the same way. And therefore, when we say Shema Israel, we're actually saying, listen, O Yaakov, not Israel, the Jewish people, we're saying, listen, Yaakov, that we are fulfilling the Yichud of Hashem the same way that you did. And the Divrei Yoel continues and says that the rabbi understood that this danger, that some rabbi will come and misinterpret the Torah, is going to be a very strong danger. Therefore, the rabbis wrote down in Yevamos Daf Kuf Beis 102 and said that even Eliyahu Hanavi himself will come and say, you can't give chalitza, you can't free a levirate woman by spitting on a sandal, meaning that a sandal may not be used for that procedure. We do not listen to him, because since it's already accepted halacha that we are supposed to use a sandal, then Eliyahu cannot come and contradict the accepted halacha. And the question is, why do we use as example of somebody is going to say against halacha specifically Eliyahu? Therefore, he explains that the rabbi were afraid that somebody who is perceived to be a great sage of the generation will come and conclude that a sandal is not allowed for a Levirate woman, and he will say that Eliyahu Hanavi came to him and told them that the sandal cannot be used. Nonetheless, you're not supposed to believe him, because since the accepted halacha is that a sandal may be used, nobody could come and say that the sandal cannot be used. So we see that the rabbis were afraid that people may misinterpret and they may say something in the name of other people, which is totally untrue. And the reason that the person would pick Eliyahu Hanavi as the person that said that is because, since we know that Eliyahu is going to come and answer all our questions and all our sfeikas, no doubts, therefore the person will utilize Eliyahu Hanavi as the one saying that a sandal is prohibited. Nonetheless, it tells you not to listen to that statement. The Divrei Yoel says that according to this we understand why the Jewish people did not believe the prophets when they came. Because since the Yalkut in Zechariah Remes Tav Kof Ayin Zayin 577 says that in regards to what's written in the Torah in Dvarim chapter 33 verse number 29, Ashrecho Yisrael, praise are you Israel, Mikomoicho, who is like you, Am Noisha Ba'Hashem, a nation who has his salvation through Hashem. The Medrash says that in this world your salvation came through men of flesh and blood. For example, the Medrash says, in Egypt your salvation came through Moshe and Aharon. The days of Sisera your salvation came through Devorah and Barak. And by Midianim your salvation came through the judges. And because your salvation came through men of flesh and blood, therefore you are always again subjugated. But le'asid lavo, in the future, ani be'atzmi goel eschem, I myself am going to redeem you, and you are not going to be enslaved anymore, you're not going to be subjugated again. As is written in Yeshaya chapter 45, Israel noisav Hashem, Israel is going to have the salvation by Hashem, Teshuas Elamim, the salvation is going to be eternal. That means that Hashem is promising the Jewish people that the salvation is going to come directly from Hashem. And also, the consolation is going to come directly from Hashem, because the verse in this week's Haftorah says, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, that console yourself, my nation. Yoimar Elokeichem, Hashem will say, which means that Hashem himself is going to bring us the message of consolation, not through a middleman. Comes out that the consolation and the redemption has to be directly through Hashem and not through any messenger and not through any person or prophet. And since Hashem knows how desperate and how much we want the redemption and how much we want consolation, Hashem is testing us by sending us these prophets and seeing that if we are going to accept the message through these prophets. In truth, we don't know how these prophets looked like. Therefore, even though these prophets come by message of Hashem and they tell us what Hashem said, we cannot accept, because this message contradicts directly what Hashem previously told us, that He Himself is going to redeem us and He Himself is going to console us. Therefore, we don't want to listen to the prophets, and we don't listen to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and we do not listen even to Moshe Rabbeinu, because since that message contradicts directly what Hashem said, we don't want to accept it. And the reason that Hashem sent these prophets, even though Hashem knows that we are not going to listen to them, is because Hashem wants to test us. Hashem wants to know that we changed our ways and we do not follow leaders that go against what's clearly written. And therefore, Hashem tests us with the highest level of leader by sending even Moshe Rabbeinu to see if we are going to follow what Moshe Rabbeinu says. And yet, when the Jewish people say that they are not going to follow what Moshe Rabbeinu says, because that contradicts what we have as tradition, that Hashem Himself is going to redeem us and Hashem Himself is going to console us, then we pass the test and Hashem redeems us and consoles us Himself, and not through an intermediary. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in these weeks that we are reading Parshas Nachamu, the portions of consolation, that we should marry, that Hashem should console us Himself, He should redeem us Himself, He should build the Beis HaMikdash in Herod.